this report that our own Kerry Murdoch put out there yesterday. Alex Grinch set to interview for the Texas Tech job. I don't think that he goes into an interview without the intention of taking the job if it's offered to him. What do you think about Texas Tech in general, especially, Craig, when you look at it in the context of the quote-unquote new Big 12 with Texas moving on? Now, again, you're going to have an in-state recruiting rival who is already there, now presumably beefed up by the fact that they're also in the Southeastern Conference along with Texas A&M, so that's another challenge along with, you know, you being the outpost in West Texas. But what do you think about perhaps some of the advantages of Texas Tech asserting themselves with a new head coach as one of these teams to be reckoned with in this new group of 12?
You know, we were talking yesterday, and Matt, chime in here, but, you know, you take Oklahoma and Texas out of this, Gideon. I do think OSU, especially given over the last decade, I'm not saying it for your benefit, but I'm, you know, Gundy's had the second-best record in the conference over the last decade. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you want to say OSU is going to be the new team to beat in the conference, I think that would be accurate. Baylor, you know, what they're doing with Aranda right now, I mean, he has turned it around much quicker than I thought he would. Matt Campbell at Iowa State, I mean, you know, West Virginia, you know, we've talked about a lot this week with the game coming up, you know, against OSU, but I think that what Brown is doing there, I mean, you know, the Big 12, I think, can still be very competitive. And so, yeah, to answer your question on Texas Tech, you know, right now, like in the power rankings they do in the Austin American Statesman every week that they run in the Oklahoman, right now Tech is eighth this week, just ahead of TCU because they don't play defense anymore and they fired their coach, and Kansas. And so, you know, if you ask me where you – that's kind of where I would put them. I don't know that I would rank the Tech job. If you're asking me where they rank in conference in the new Big 12, mm-hmm. that's where I would put them. You know, down at the bottom, even with the addition of if you're adding BYU, Cincinnati, who's up among the top in the country, we'll see if they hang on to Fickell. We're talking about Houston. And Matt, you were saying earlier, talking about Sonny Dykes at SMU, And they wanted to get his pay in line with what Fickell was making at Cincinnati and what Hogerson was making at Houston, right? And so we asked the question, we said, well, how much was Wells? How much were they paying him? And Gideon, we looked it up, and it was like he signed a six-year contract for 18-point-something million, you know, 3-point-something million a year. And so I started thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know what? So Texas Tech's more in line with what SMU is. Now, they're not paying that much right now, but they're wanting to pay that much at least, right, Matt, to keep Sonny Dykes?
Yes. Well, the story from Sports Illustrated is that SMU has presented him with a contract extension to put his salary on par with, like you said, Holgerson, who's making, what, $4 million, and Fickell. Right now, 3.4. Now, Fickell might be making a whole lot more in 2 months somewhere. But, that's the story. Don't know the exact financials because SMU being a private school, they don't have to tell anybody. But that is what a couple of guys from Sports Illustrated are reporting, that at least SMU is going to do whatever they can to try to keep him.
But they've won before. I mean, with Leach, Gideon, I mean, you know, the Tech fans, they're sitting there going, well, what does OSU, Baylor, Iowa State, K-State have that we do? I mean, you know, they've won before. But I'm just saying that it's going to be interesting to see what they do pay. Heck, they were paying over $3 million to the guy they just fired, so you would have to assume that maybe, you know, they should be now if they hire, like you mentioned, you know, Grinch, and if they hire some guy like that, I guess they don't have to pay $4 million to an unproven guy, so maybe they don't pay that much. But I don't know. Right now, it's just, you know, I view Tech as being one of the worst jobs in the new Big 12. How do you view it?
One of the worst jobs in the new Big 12. I just think there's some more uniformity because there's so much uncertainty about how that league operates, like what you talked about with Fickell, how some of these other teams perform against teams that are already in the conference, that are already set up. And again, we're still a couple of years away from this. So I don't know, Matt. Do you – Texas Tech, to me, like I said, there are some things that go against that. I think you can win there, but I think winning there is – you know, winning 8 or 9 games a year.
Yeah,
I don't know if the ceiling is there. However, when you're there are only so many Power 5 jobs that are available, with especially within a region that you might be familiar with, that you might feel a little bit more comfortable recruiting in a conference that you're familiar with. So maybe that's all part of a consideration. And the X in the math equation here is how badly he wants to be a head coach, and there are only a finite number of these jobs. So I didn't know if it was more about just his desire to be a coach, or there was something that was a little bit more desirable about the spot with Texas Tech.
So Gideon, are you saying he should hang on and wait for a better job?
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
That seems to be like what you're saying.
I want to make it clear. If they offered the job to Grinch, I would take it. And I would take. We were just talking about that. Have you seen this story where they're talking about the FBS schools paying out over $533 million in dead money over the last 10 plus years? That they're paying out to football coaches, men's and women's basketball coaches
yes.
that have been fired. Just over in a little over a decade, the FBS conferences and this is just the public schools we're talking about, not even counting the private schools, have paid out over $533 million just in money to coaches that have already been fired. All right, like Auburn has paid out over $31 million to coaches that have been fired. Nebraska, $25.8 million, just in the last 10, 11 years. I'm not talking ever. I mean, just over the last decade. To coaches that have been fired, Texas is at $21.5 million. Ole Miss is at almost – it's at $20.4 million. Kansas is at $20 million. I mean, so, like, yeah, Gus Malzahn, I mean, he got paid $21 million after they fired him. $21 million. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, if you get a chance to take a job like that, I don't know how much Matt Wells got paid, you know, what you know, his, you know, buyout and so forth, but yes, yeah, if you I mean you take that job, I don't care if they fire you after 2 or 3 years, you're pretty much set for life. So yes, take the money, Alex Grinch.
Okay.
If you get a chance to take it, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. And then how much do you have any kind of read on how much longer this iteration of the Big 12 lasts? Have we made any progress down that road?
I think most of us were saying that it was that, you know, one more year at the most. And also along those lines, guys, did you read the latest on the, you know, the 12-team playoff and how, I mean, that looked like that was right around the corner as last summer, right?
Yes.
Until you know, OU and Texas decided to go to the SEC and they put a total stop to it. And Tram is writing about it this morning. And basically, you know, the meetings are at least back underway on that. And it said that they're going to meet again on December the 1st. But, you know, I think that, you know, we're going to see a 12-team playoff. It's just a matter of when we're going to see it, and if we're going to have to wait until it's, you know, 2024 or whatever. But Bill Hancock, they said yesterday, if a new postseason format is implemented, you know, it's going to be determined on December the 1st. I mean, if it's going to happen for the 2024 season. So they're talking like it's not going to happen next year or the year after that. They're saying 20. They're acting like 2024.
Well, what's interesting about that to me is that that's right in the middle of the 3-year cycles that I've talked about, and maybe I'm all wet, but I'm just saying this 12-year agreement for this current playoff format is basically 4 3-year cycles, where the first year the Rose and Sugar get the semis, the second year the Orange and the Cotton get the semis, and then the third year the Peach and the Fiesta get the semis. Let's see, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. This is the second year of the third cycle. Next year, after 22, it would be complete. It's interesting to hear him say that it could start in 24, but they have to get it done by December the 1st. The way it looks today, what time is it, 11:41? 11:41 on November the 5th. It looks like it's not happening until after 25, would be my guess.
Wow. Because I would guess it happens before then.
You think?
They've
got to figure out something by December. I mean, Hancock said they got to figure out something by December 1st.
By December 1st,
or it's not happening
to happen in the 24th season.
Right.
Yep. Well, I think that they're at least going to get it done by 24.
Is this separate from any real world type of pushback here, where if things are particularly chaotic with the selection process this season, that would push anything? Or is this just all dictated by something else? Is this in its own basket?
You know, December 1st is an interesting date, because that's before then, you know, before the selections are made. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point. That's a good point. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Getting, you would think, I mean, we all pray for turmoil every year, you know,
right,
that would be as chaotic as possible to drive them more toward the playoff. Hey, it's just a bad idea, right? Having a 4-team playoff with 5 major conferences, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes more sense than what we had before, but yeah, is it the best thing? In my opinion, no.
But no, if they had sat down together, and it was the SEC, it was Sankey, it was Bob Bowlesby, it was the Mountain West, Craig Thompson, and the Notre Dame AD.
Yeah.
That those were the 4 that came up with the 12-team plan. But hey, like you've said, Matt, there's more money. It all goes back to money, and
follow
there's a
the
whole
yellow
lot
brick
more
road.
Money
that's
there
what it's all
for
about.
For the 12-team.
Yep.
And it's we've talked about the group of 5, Gideon. I mean, it's better you can include the group of 5 in a 12-team playoff, where right now these guys aren't given the time of day.
Right.
And that's why I said they would be better off to have their own playoff. I really believe that right
well,
now.
Well, I would say this. I would
until
say
until we get to a 12-teamer.
The yeah. committee definitely does not want to put one of the group of 5 teams in. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, the Big 12 champion could have a loss. The you know, the Big 10 champion could still have a loss. I guess what I'm saying is, okay, what I took from the rankings this week was it's obvious the committee does not want to select Cincinnati as one of their top 4 teams.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Cincinnati's hopes are just gone. You know what I'm saying?
No, they're not eliminated.
No, because things could happen where they would just almost have to put them in there.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.